Guess what? It's a month and a day away from Christmas. Oh man. People are not really excited. This is not good. Well, I tell you, I was on my way back from Crest, and my wife sent me with a little bit of a list to Walmart, and what was playing over the loudspeakers? But Feliz Navidad, and many other songs. And it was, Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming, and it's an exciting time of year, and obviously for some of you, the one that said, aw, it's exhausting, or, you know, and it can be a really tough time of the year, too. So I think having perspective going into the Advent season, any time of the year is important, but especially this time of the year, perspective is needed, and having a prophetic perspective is needed. So we're going to look at that from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. But before we do that, I just want to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for coming as a babe in the manger. Thank you for coming not only to stay as a babe, but to grow, to minister, to die on the cross, and to rise again. We are so grateful. We can never say thank you enough for all that you have done. And in thinking of your first advent, we want to think now of your second advent coming again. Father, I know I am excited to look forward to your return and speed its coming. We thank you so much that we can think about that today, and that as we think and focus on that, that you would help us to deepen our faith, to broaden our perspective as we think about your return to consummate all things. Lord, we just thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in light of Advent, I thought it would be appropriate to think of Jesus' second Advent, his second coming, and that is what's talked about in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 18, the entirety of the chapter. So we're going to kind of hit the high points a little bit here for this chapter. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave. He writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, what is this saying to us? Having a prophetic perspective, We enter this Advent season and we remember the first coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Messiah. But as we look at the ongoing things that are happening in our society and look to the scriptures, things have been, since the time of the writing of 2 Peter, moving in the direction of the return of Christ. What a wonderful thought, right? Peter thought it was coming. Paul thought it was coming. We see that throughout Peter and Paul's letters, and it has been coming for the last 2,000 years. Jesus is coming back. It is important to have a prophetic perspective, for when we do, each day will be even more productive. Think of that. I once met a pastor in Saskatchewan who said, I live as if Jesus is coming tomorrow, and I plan as if Jesus is coming 50 years from now, right? So just think about that, we leave it all in his hands and to have that openness of mind and heart. Peter here is saying these things to stimulate wholesome thinking. Wholesome thinking, he says here. I give you these as reminders. Peter's writing this letter, as we said, 2 Peter chapter 1, to come against the Gnostic heresy that was there. And he wants wholesome thinking. He wants orthodox thinking. He wants biblical focused thinking. And so he is saying this once again as he closes his letter to the people he's writing to. Wholesome thinking leads to productive living, leads to Holy Spirit empowered living. Paul spoke of this type of living as well and spoke about coming against wrong thinking, wrong teaching. Ephesians 5, 6 through 15, and specifically 6 through 14, say this: Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. We talked about goodness the last couple weeks. God's goodness. And we find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But in everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Verses 15 and 16. So how do we make the most of every opportunity? How do we have wholesome thinking? What does that look like? Well, empty words equal empty lives. We see here that we need to be a discerning people and that we have to be aware of scoffers coming following their own evil desires. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, Where is this coming he has promised? Where? I haven't heard necessarily people talk directly in those words, but certainly the way people live their lives, and sometimes as Christians, the way we live our lives, we don't seem to live our lives in light of the second coming, do we? And the second coming of Christ needs to be something that doesn't necessarily paralyze us with analyzation of fear, because there's lots of teachers out there that are good, and some that just, they make charts and do all these wonderful things, but some are just wrong teaching. It's just wrong teaching about end times. I'm not going to go into that. That's not the place to do that here. That's more of a Bible study kind of a thing and a discussion personally. But people, including Christians, can get into a false sense of belief in thinking about Christ's second coming and just living our lives at times like Christ isn't coming. Even though we say we believe that, we can be blinded at times by what's going on in the world. There was a man who was going by a mine operation, and he happened to see hundreds of donkeys sitting out in the fields nearby this mine shaft opening. And he asked someone that lived near the mine, what was this all about? And this was the response. When he inquired about this, why the animals had been brought up, They're brought up to preserve their eyesight. If these donkeys had not been brought up, they would go blind by going around in the dark in the bottom of this mine. The same can be true in our spiritual lives at times, right? If we follow a certain way of thinking, a certain theology, or we are influenced by certain ways of thinking, and that's all we expose ourselves to, and if we don't allow the word, the true, pure word, to have its effect on our minds, we end up walking around in the dark and we're blind to what Christ really wants for our lives. And Peter here is trying to help people he is talking to not go blind, but to come into the light, to understand that, yes, Christ is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And that to guard against the false teachings. And I encourage you to read the whole book of 2 Peter, but specifically the teachers he's talking about here in chapter 3, he mentions in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, and actually 1 through 4, false prophets, false teachers that introduce destructive heresies, he says there, even denying the sovereign Lord. Even denying the sovereign Lord. We see that in our own society today. Paul talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 4, that those in latter times will leave the truth and go to myths and things taught by demons and having their consciences seared as with a hot iron. Untruths, false teachers. We need to be aware and be sure of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Peter talks to us about that in 1 Peter, doesn't he? We need to be sure of the hope that we have in him and give a reason for that hope. I want to give you a little bit of a reason for you mathematicians out there. There's some charts up there I think you can bring up. What that just give us some probability. Some of you may have heard of this. In Science Speaks, older magazine from a number of years ago, Dr. Stoner looks at the probability that one man, Jesus Christ, could have fulfilled even 8 of the 300 prophecies that pertain to him in the Bible. And this is some of the mathematics of probability in that. Just 6 of them. I'm not going to use all 8. But for Christ to be born in Bethlehem, we see that that's the probability of 201 in 280,000. That John the Baptist would be the forerunner of Christ, 1 in 1,000. Christ to enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey, 1 in 100. Christ to be betrayed by a friend, Judas betrayed Jesus, we see that fulfillment, 1 in 1,000. We go down to one that's not up there, but that 30 pieces of silver was used to buy a potter's field. Yes, it is up there. 1 in 100,000. We take the probability of all of these 8 prophecies coming true in one man. It is 2.8 times 10 to the 28th power. Let that sink in for a little bit. 2.8 times 10 to the 28th power. I don't even know what that is. That's above a quadrillion. That's infinity almost, right? It's huge. Huge, huge. I don't know if anyone has that number for that many of zeros, but ultimately, wow. One particular theologian put it this way in a picture. Basically, coming out of this mathematical problem, this probability of just 8 of 300 coming true is like blindfolding a man, putting him in the state of Texas with dollar bills and foot deep, marking $1 bill, and he finds that $1 bill. Blindfold. You get the point, right? Jesus is who he says he is. We can trust his promises. All the way. We need to be prepared. And one of those things is, as I just mentioned, those probabilities help us to continue to put strong, steadfast, perseverant hope in who Jesus is and who he says he is. That we can be not like the 5 foolish virgins that we read about in Matthew chapter 25 that weren't ready, but we would be like the 5 that are ready. That we would be ready for Christ's second coming. that knowing that, knowing what he's done, that every day we would walk out with God as our strength and purpose, that knowing his second coming is coming and is going to be fulfilled just as his first coming was, that that would give us great hope, great strength in the midst of all the things that we face. Acts 17:31 says this to us about Jesus coming again. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Jesus rose, he ascended, he is coming back. Just as the angel said to the disciples, why are you looking up? For he will come back the same way that he left. Jesus is coming back. How are we to live? Romans 12:9-16 talks to us about that. Look into that. And those of us, it says here in Peter that it will take us like a thief. But it's interesting what Paul says to us in 1 Thessalonians 5:4. Brothers, you are not in darkness so that this day, the day of the Lord, should surprise you like a thief. It should not surprise us that he will come and we will be with him forever. Now for looking at verses 8 through 18. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to eternal life. What does this mean? Well, interesting little fictional conversation between a man and God. Man was wandering through the woods, pondering life, the universe, and the questions of faith. The man could not find any answers, so he sought help from God. God, God, are you there? He said. God responded, what is it, my son? I have a few questions. Mind if I ask? Go right ahead, ask anything, God said. God, what is 1,000,000 years to you? God said, 1,000,000 years is only like a second to me. He wondered. God, what is $1,000,000 to you? Oh, $1,000,000 is just worth a penny to me. Man lifted his eyebrows and proceeded to ask a final question. God, can I have a penny? Sure, in just a second. Yes, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. God is above time and space. He chose to be part of time and space through his son, Jesus Christ. And hallelujah, praise God that he did that. So that he came down so that we may have eternal life with him. And that, aren't we glad? Aren't we exuberant, excited, that, and just so grateful that he is so patient with us, that he does not want any to perish, but all to come to eternal life, that there is that great patience with the Lord. Wonderful to think about that. But it's also exciting in many ways to think about Christ coming again, that there will be one day. We don't know exactly when that is. We have some hints. But even it says the Son, the time in the Gospels, doesn't even know that day. We can debate that theologically, but this is not the place for that. So you can talk to me about that afterwards. But it's very interesting. But God wants so many. Your friends, your family members who don't know Jesus. These scriptures in 2 Peter 3:8-9 are so important for us to think about as we want to evangelize. We want to reach out to those who don't yet know Jesus. That God is patient and forbearant. We read that in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, that his kindness and forbearance, his patience, lead us to repentance. And that no matter what, we can continue to come before him boldly. We read about the widow, parable of the widow, the persistent widow in Luke 18:1-8. That no matter what, God will grant her and us justice, grant our requests as we seek him. and ask for His will to be done in our lives and around us and those we love. I love the last question that Jesus poses. Verse 8 of Luke 18 says, I tell you, you will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? It's a question that, in light of the epistle, 2 Peter, we need to think about. Find faith on the earth. Makes me think of the Old Testament when Elijah and others were there and they're petitioning and even Abraham over Sodom and Gomorrah, right? There's just 10 that believe in you. Will you save that city? Yes. Where there is faith, I believe that God will find faith here at Claire's home. And that will be wonderful. So, in light of this, another question that Peter poses to us in verse 11. Since everything has been destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Ernest Shackleton was a great explorer. And one time he had to leave his team, most of his team, on a place called Elephant Island. And he tried numerous times to come and receive his team, but was blocked by ice and just the harsh elements of winter. He was delayed many, many times. Finally, he got through a short little channel of ice that was broken open, and there was open water. And when he arrived, he was delighted to not only find his men, but they were sitting on shore, waiting for him, waiting and ready. And picked them up, and as they were on the ship heading back to England, he asked, why were you so ready? He said, well, our leader told us every morning and showed us every morning by getting up, rolling his sleeping bag together and said, you know what? Our leader Ernest may be coming today. Our leader Ernest may be coming today. Well, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ is more certain than Mr. Shackleton's return. He's promised to return, and He will return. That is our blessed hope. Amen? Our blessed hope is that Christ will return. So what type of lives are we to live? Lives that are ready. Lives that are ready to say yes to Jesus at any moment. Lives that Peter talks about here. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Wow. Awesome. But there are so many that still need to come to Jesus. There are so many that need to hear His voice, be drawn to Him. We need to walk in the light. This week at Crest, I was asked about, and we were all asked the question, what really is a passion in your life that drives you? And I've heard this in some of your lives as well. This is one of my passions, and I think that something we need to be aware of. There's a study done a number of years ago, it was 2016, by the Bible League of Canada on the biblical illiteracy that is present within our society of Canada. In 2006, a study was done. There was 17% of evangelical Christians read their Bible on a regular basis. In 2016, that percentage went down to 11%. And of the 11% of, this is across the board, I say evangelical Christians, but it's actually Christianity in general. Of the 11%, 41% were evangelical Christians, would be identified as, say, Baptist or Evangelical Missionary Alliance, those type of denominations. Those, that 41% read their Bible on a regular basis. We just talked last 2 weeks about we can enter into the divine nature through knowing His promises. How can we be found blameless and spotless and at peace with him? By knowing him through his word. Be ready for him. It saddens me, and it somewhat angers me, and it frustrates me that we need to know Christ. And how do we know him? But through his word, through his autobiography from Genesis to Revelation. There's a small group that's taking place of ladies. You can talk to Sean afterwards, but they're doing knowing Christ through the scriptures, basically, right? Yeah, and seeing where Christ is from Genesis to Revelation. And especially in the Old Testament. Yeah. Yeah, specifically Genesis. But yeah. Because Christ is spoken of almost every page. If you look hard enough, he's there. We're going to enter into a series in the Advent of seeing Christ in his genealogy. In Matthew chapter 1. I'm excited about that. The characters of the Christmas story, in a way. But to be filled with that knowledge. It says at the very end, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge. Again, how do we do that? Again, by knowing his precious promises, by going there. Christmas is coming, but Jesus is coming again. So this Christmas, may we not be distracted by the tinsel and lights, although those are wonderful, but may we grow in our anticipation of the second advent of Christ coming again, what that looks like for us. May it grow, may it propel our faith to a place where we want to. And I want to encourage you and thank those of you here that I've talked to and those of you even that I haven't, but that you have the desire to see Christ be made known. To give that reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. Continue to do that. Continue to walk out in that hunger, that desire to walk out with him, to dream what Christ would have for us. That when he comes back, that he would find those of us at Faith Community Baptist Church faithful. Amen? Yeah. Knowing him, loving him, growing in him. Growing in his word. Because his promise to us, as we read in John chapter 8, verse 12. I love this verse. Many of you know it. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Light. So let's change those stats. Let's change those stats, that 41%. Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear 100%? 100% of people are reading God's word on a daily basis. Love that. So I challenge you this week, I challenge all of us this week to, and this coming new year, read God's word. Encourage, not something I want it to come across as a legalistic obligation, but as a love relationship. Do you want to read a love letter? Read the word of God. Jesus loves you. And you know, maybe some of you have never enjoyed God. Do you enjoy God? Think about that for a minute. Enjoy him. It's not just about, okay, let's tick the boxes of, well, I read one chapter today, and then I, you know, as much as I know I do that, but it's a love relationship. Because you're accepted, we are accepted, secure, and significant in Christ. We have that relationship with him. Do you enjoy spending time with God? Do we enjoy that? Just being in his presence? Isn't it great to be in church today? Isn't it great to be here amongst brothers and sisters in Christ to read and hear his word spoken? To think about that. I got a story, a true historical story from Voice of the Martyrs about the story of William Tyndale, the author and translator of the first English Bible. Reads like the book of Acts, how to translate and he was shipwrecked and imprisoned, and finally he met his demise at being burnt at the stake. So much has been sacrificed down through the years to bring this into our hands, folks. There's been so much blood, so many things done to be able to bring this word to us today. And I don't say that to evoke an obligatory type response, but to enjoy him. These people did that because they loved Jesus so much, they wanted others to know him. When you love someone so much, you want others to know him. I've talked to many of you, and you have that hope and that desire for the next generation. Thank you, seniors of FCBC, that you have that desire for the next generation to know Christ and to make him known, to make your have us as the next generation to make our faith personal, because you've enjoyed being in the presence of Jesus. You've enjoyed just walking with him intimately, knowing him through his word. So this Christmas season, enjoy Jesus. Enjoy him for all he's worth. Seek him in a new and fresh way. There's presents in here that are yet to be unwrapped. Amen? There's so much in here that is yet to be unwrapped. Every time I open this each week, it's just like, whew, yeah, this is good stuff. It's the story of my Lord. It's the story of my Savior. It's a story that he's coming back. And it's a story that we win. We win in the end. We know the end. What does the end say? I'm just going to read it for us. It's so awesome. The last few verses of Revelation chapter 22. Wonderful to think about. And it needs to propel our faith. Verses 20 and 21. He who testifies to these things, all these things in the word, says, yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, with God's people. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we want to grow in your grace and knowledge. We know that you destroyed the earth once and that you will destroy it again, not for the sake of destroying it, but for the sake of renewing it. Lord, you want to, and each and every day in small microcosms, in small ways, you are destroying us, helping us to give ourselves over to you. You say to us that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow you, to die to self, to die to our self-focus and to get to know you more, in order that when you come, it will be a great and glorious day. It will be a wonderful day when you come to receive us as your own, but that it will not take us by surprise, because we are people of the word. We are people of in love with you. That wedding day, when you come for your bride, when you come to just take us to be with you, what a great and glorious day that will be. Help us, Lord, to not just analyze it, not just think about it, but to let those thoughts seep down into our actions and let it be something where we walk out with you in goodness and in all that you have for us, Jesus. Oh, Lord, please help us not to be carried away by error or false teachings, so that we may be blinded to the true way that you would have us to walk. But help us to walk out with you and increase the desire in all of us, oh Lord Jesus, please, for your truth, for the truth of your word to bear and give purpose to every part of our being, to our parenting, to our grandparenting, to the very smallest task that we undertake each and every day, that you, Lord Jesus, would be Lord of all, that you would be Savior of all that we do, and that this Christmas season, this Advent season, we would enjoy you. We would enjoy your presence. That we can say glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. That we would Press into that peace. Press into the favor of God that you have for each and every one of us this Christmas season and throughout the new year. And that peace and favor would just draw us even deeper into knowing you more. Oh, Lord Jesus, you've come to give us peace, because your government of peace, there will be no end. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you have done, what you're going to do in and through us. Promote in us wholesome thinking. Promote in us wholesome living, so that the world, ultimately our families and the world, would know that you are Lord and Savior. Thank you. We all listen to the powerful and mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen.